Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Tanishka Cruz with the Legal Aid Justice Center, counsel for appellant Edie Canales. Every week, juvenile and domestic relations courts and circuit courts across the Commonwealth.
Excuse me, Ms. Cruz, do you care to reserve any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor, there's no appellee here.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. You mean, sir? You're right.
You have the entire 15 minutes nonstop.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Every week, juvenile and domestic relations courts and circuit courts across the Commonwealth consider and issue special immigrant juvenile findings of fact.
Let me stop you right there, counsel. There's clearly some confusion, I think, among the courts, not just in the Commonwealth, but throughout the country, about what their authority is in regard to dealing with immigrant issues along these lines. We're dealing with a federal statute that is actually a definitional statute, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And I understand your basic position is that definition conveys jurisdiction to state courts that it otherwise doesn't have, or in the alternative, state courts already have that jurisdiction through the jurisdiction that the General Assembly has given. Is that correct?
Well, Your Honor, the federal statute defines what special immigrant juvenile status is. The reason why we need a predicate order from a state juvenile court is because the federal system feels that the experts in that area, in making decisions over whether a child should be reunified with their parent, whether a parent has abused, abandoned, or neglected a child, is not an expertise that's possessed by the immigration courts or the immigration system.
Who is it that confers that jurisdiction, that's the subject matter jurisdiction, over the JMDR court or the circuit court?
Well, the federal government is asking for a collaboration between both systems, because these are matters that are being discussed and dealt with regularly in family court.
The definition of special immigrant, yes, I lost count. We're part 27 of the various definitions of special immigrant, and we stopped here, but there are various ways you can be considered special immigrant, correct?
Yes.
And the one that's in play here deals with juveniles, and Congress has specified certain criteria, and I'll quote from 8 U.S.C. 1101A27J, and I won't read the whole thing, but if you're dependent on a juvenile court, if you've been placed under the custody of an entity appointed by the state, I guess that would include something like foster care or something of that nature.
Or an individual.
And where the juvenile court has found that reunification with both parents is not viable due to abuse, neglect, abandonment, or a similar basis. And then the language is found under state law. So it seems to me that at least one interpretation, this might not be one you favor, but at least one interpretation is Congress has effectively said, if in employing state law, if enforcing state law with regard to custody, visitation, termination of parental rights, things of that nature, you meet certain criteria that may well qualify you as a special immigrant. The Secretary of Homeland Security can take steps to allow you permanent residency. Is that a fair reading, you think?
I believe that it is.
Stay with me, because I think Judge Huff and I are kind of dealing with the same point here. There seems to me to be a fine distinction between saying that a juvenile court must make certain findings upon request that basically are, you're in effect turning state courts into immigrant tribunals, versus making findings which under state law, which may or may not impact their ability to remain as permanent resident under federal law.
Well, I would like to note that it's really important to recognize that simply obtaining this predicate order from a juvenile court doesn't bestow any lawful immigration status upon the child. It simply gives them the ability to go to the Department of Homeland Security and request this benefit.
But you're asserting that the lower courts, both the juvenile court and the circuit court, erred in not making specific findings that would assist you in getting special immigrant status on behalf of a client. It seems to me that both lower courts took the position that Congress didn't give us that authority. The authority we have is to do our job under state law, and if that results in the ability to do something with respect to immigrant status in the federal system, that's all well and good, but that's not our problem. Is that basically what occurred here?
Well, I disagree slightly. I believe that the lower courts decided not to consider these issues at all because they felt that the Code of Virginia doesn't give them the authority and jurisdiction to consider these factors. We believe that the code does, by way and pursuant to...
Well, I think it's because of the way your motion below was framed. You basically wanted the court to affirmatively make certain findings for utilization in federal immigration proceedings, as opposed to simply adjudicating what it is authorized to do under state law. In other words, here we have a situation where the father, who wasn't present in court, was served by publication. I gather the court was somewhat uncomfortable dealing with that situation, given that he was not there to defend himself, if you will. But in any event, there were certain allegations of abuse and neglect that were made that the trial courts essentially said, I can't make the findings that you want me to make. I can make the findings that the state court allows me to make, and that's as good as I can do it. And I guess the question is, why is that error?
Well, I think there's two issues there. First, the notice issue. The appellee was served by a notice of publication, and that's an acceptable form of notice.
Well, I don't dispute that. The trial court here wasn't willing to go so far as to say, in effect, terminate the parental rights of the father who's not in this country, is not even aware of what the court proceedings are.
Right, but that's a misunderstanding of what was being sought. What was being sought were these factual findings, not a termination of parental rights, which does have...
It seems from a review of the record that the relief that you were seeking and what the adjudicating court thought it was doing were two separate things. You simply wanted predicate findings to enable you to petition the federal authorities for your client's status, while the trial court got bogged up in thinking it was making an abuse and neglect determination, correct?
Well, I believe that the court felt like it couldn't consider these findings at all. Because
what is the difference in this in, say, a federal authority or federal agency wanting something to verify someone's status? For instance, the ability to license and provide IDs in Virginia is with the Division of Motor Vehicles. What is the difference in this case in having someone go down to the Division of Motor Vehicles and get a license or an identification card and use that to allow the federal authorities to make some sort of determination as to what that person's status or rights are in this country?
In our position, there is no difference between the two because it's simply a collaboration between two systems, but it does hinge on the state court making a determination because
so
they
the
are the
experts.
So the
same thing would be true if the DMV, for whatever reason, declined to give a person an identification card. We'd have essentially the same issue.
Correct.
I'm on your side.
But we do believe that the juvenile code, 16.1 of the Code of Virginia, does provide that in all proceedings involving the welfare of the child, and in this matter, we had a petition for custody that was before the court, that the welfare of the child and the family are the paramount concerns to the Commonwealth. And to that end, the judge shall possess all necessary and incidental powers, whether legal or equitable in their nature.
To make a determination of custody.
To make a determination of custody, but you know, you find in the code other places where it states that where it involves custody, the court can make any other additional orders as necessary to effectuate the custody order or to...
So as long as the trial court had subject matter jurisdiction over the issue presented, it was able to make the predicate findings that you're seeking in this case.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And that would have been the case whether it was a custody petition, as was the case here, or a CHIN petition, or...
Delinquency proceedings, correct.
Well, specifically what you were asking the court to do was to make findings with respect to, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm mischaracterizing, and I apologize if I'm wrong. Because the language of the statute is, the first question is, has the child been declared dependent on the juvenile court? You want the court to make that particular finding. And here, the court concluded that it placed custody with the mother, so it wasn't taking custody of the child. Is that the same thing as being dependent on juvenile court? I mean, so what I'm getting at is the federal statute says one thing. We have other standards that may or may not be congruent in the state law, but are certainly not perfectly congruent, it seemed to me. For example, best interest of the child is the primary focus for our courts, but that language doesn't appear anywhere in the federal statute, at least in those terms.
Your Honor, it does actually appear in the last factor, which is whether or not it's in the best interest of the child to return to
return to the
country of origin.
Right, but that's a determination that juvenile courts taking that language literally, it would seem to me the court is trying to determine not whether the father who's back in the home country is an appropriate custodial parent, but whether the whole country is a place for the child to live. And I don't know that the courts of the Commonwealth are in a position to make value judgments that the standard of living in America is better than it is in Guatemala or Colombia or Paraguay or Germany or Austria. And that's not their job.
Well, I disagree slightly in that I think it's analogous to a case of relocation, where courts are asked to look at two potential geographic locations, and irrespective of who is the person requesting
move. But the difference isn't whether Arizona is better than Virginia as a place to live. The difference in a relocation case is whether, because of a parent being in a different place, on balance, it's in the best interest of the child to be in Virginia versus Arizona or wherever.
And I think that's the same inquiry that's being asked
here.
No,
it's not. But that's not what. Whether it's in the alien's best interest to be returned to the previous country of nationality or the country of last habitual residence. That, seems to me, is not necessarily the same thing as whether the... I think you could argue, at least on its face, that what that means is the courts are supposed to determine which country is the better country. And I'm not sure that's something we ought to be doing.
Or whether it's in the best interest of that child to be in that... to be removed from where they
are. Well, I mean, there are social workers, and we've had a case like this, reverse, where a social worker has determined to terminate parental rights because Nigeria is a backward country as compared to the USA, and because the parents are being returned to Nigeria, that's grounds for terminating parental rights, because America is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and better than every other country on earth. That's a very jingoistic, it seems to be, approach to determine the best interest of the child, and that would seem, under your theory, that would authorize something like this.
Well, I think under our theory, the position is that we need to evaluate what's in the best interest of the child. You're looking at the two potential geographic locations and making a determination. The court went so far as to say that it's in the best interest of the child to remain in Virginia. So why not say, then, that it's not in the child's best interest to return to Honduras?
And in this particular case, the trial court said that if it had jurisdiction, then it would be happy to make those rules. Is my memory correct on that?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so it really boils down to whether there was a jurisdiction. No question there was jurisdiction over the person. And so the question is, does the subject matter jurisdiction extend to these issues?
And I think that's what troubles me, because it seems to me what the court did here was to, in effect, say, this child should not be the father who was back in Honduras. Thank you. And didn't say Honduras is not the place for this child to be, but said father, who happens to be in Honduras, is not where this child should be. The court clearly had, it seems, the authority under Virginia law to make that determination as far as it went. You wish they had gone farther and said, no, whether father's there or not, Honduras is not the place they need to be. I don't think the juvenile court has that authority, but assuming that it had done, had that authority but didn't do it, why can't the Secretary of Homeland Security, based on this definition, still make a determination that this child is a special immigrant based on what the court did do here?
Ultimately, it is a case-by-case discretionary factor that the Department of Homeland Security is going to engage in. So it doesn't necessarily guarantee that the child will be awarded the status at the end. But it's just not, making the determination over the best interest of a child is not something that is within the Department of Homeland Security's expertise.
I think maybe where the debate is here, and I don't know if this is the right or wrong answer to this, and maybe the General Assembly needs to clean this up, not us. But it seems to me the debate is really whether it's a proper role for the courts under this federal statute to do what they normally do and make determinations about custody visitation and so forth based on the best interest of the child, based on the evidence that's presented, vis-a-vis the parents, leaving geography essentially aside as a factor, and letting the federal authorities then take those orders and do whatever they want to do, whether that means they become a special immigrant or not, and as opposed to, in effect, requiring juvenile courts, every time someone wants to remain in this country, requiring juvenile courts to make certain factual findings to assist them in doing that. I'm not sure that's the proper role of juvenile court.
But it's not every single case that's going to go before the court for this matter. It's a very, in relative to the numbers that are asking for it, you have to be eligible for this and meet the requirements. And it's up to the state court, to the trial courts, to decide if they're going to enter these very particular findings. We're not asking today that you yourselves find that it's not, you know, that the appellee abandoned, that reunification is inviolable, and that the child shouldn't go back to Honduras. What we're asking for is a remand back to circuit court with instruction to them that they have the authority and jurisdiction to consider these issues.
Well, if a Virginia court, whether it's a juvenile court or a circuit court on appeal, does no more than what's contained in 16.1-2241 or the factors in 20-124.3, which is what they're authorized to do under state law, why isn't that enough for the feds to then do whatever they're going to do with it and let the chips fall where they may? Why is that insufficient as a matter of law for your purposes?
Well, because the federal government requires that very specific language be...
Because the court here didn't make the right findings.
They didn't enter the findings that they need in order for this child to attempt to apply for this status.
Good.
It needs to very specifically make those statements.
I don't need a definition as a grant of authority.
Well, there's regulations also that then play into how that definition in practice is pursued. But the very specific requirement that there be a predicate order is the first step for this child to be able to go to the door and knock. And at that point, there's going to be a case-by-case discretionary.
But I guess the question is, should that predicate order be pursuant to 241, or should be pursuant to the United States Code?
In this case, or in all cases, it depends on where the subject matter jurisdiction for the court would lie. If it's a custody proceeding, then yes, 16.1-241 would authorize the court to have jurisdiction over all matters in relation to the custody. And furthermore, we have statutory best interest factors that are required for the court to consider. And we contend that these issues play and fit specifically into the best interest factors.
Counsel, do you know anything about general domestic relations law? Anything about quadros? You know what a quadro is? A qualified domestic relations order.
I've heard of them. I've had experience with
them. A qualified domestic relations order is basically something that's entered by a trial court in the Commonwealth of Virginia or any state that is required to enter a quadro, but it still needs to meet certain federal guidelines. And the feds will send quadros back to us all the time if those specific particularized findings are not made in the case. Is this any different than a quadro?
Not having as much experience with it, I'm not 100% sure. However, in this case specifically, when the order was attained from the juvenile...
You're probably looking at you saying, agree.
Yes. In this case specifically, there was an order that lacked a finding at the JNDR court level. Trial counsel did attempt to apply for status for the child using that insufficient order, and it was rejected. So they attempted again by way of appeal at the circuit court level to get the specific findings that they needed.
All right. That more than completes your time, Ms. Cruz. In keeping with the tradition of this court in merit cases, we'll come down and read counsel, and then we'll take a brief recess.